Gallard O'Harris.
And welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse.
We are covering Season 5, Episode 10, Season Finale, Mother's Mercy. So, initial reactions. How many Joffrey death scenes do you give it?
I think we have a new rating. We have a new item on our scale that is worth, I don't know, about 10 Joffrey death scenes, and that's a Jon Snow death scene.
Yeah, but that's not satisfying. That's a new scale, all right. How dissatisfying do you find this Game of Thrones?
In that case, one Jon Snow death scene.
So maybe we have a new gratification factor, though. How many Cersei Walk of Shames is this worth? One.
Yeah, definitely one. And
I'm going to say it's worth... man, I don't know. I have so many issues. There's like... I want to say that the episode was well-written. It was well-acted as far as... for what it was trying to do, I think it was well written, well acted. However, I think I personally didn't like it.
It was so great that I am now Team White Walker.
So you know, it actually has nothing to do with Jon Snow's death. My disappointment has nothing to do with Jon Snow's death. I know that there are hundreds of thousands of people out there losing their shit that Jon Snow died. I am pretty convinced that Melisandre is on scene, which we'll get into that. We'll get into that in the talking points. And then at the end, I'm going to cover why I have a grievance with the Game of Thrones. In fact, this may be our last podcast for the television series.
Wow.
I'm that disappointed. And there's some other things, some other developments that may impede our casting of it next season. We'll get to that to the end. So we'll go into the fast recap. We start in the north, and we see... Stannis, there's desertion, suicide, and more desertion. We go to the wall. White men can't climb, or at least we hope. I'm saying white as in W-I-G-H-T. Gilly and Sam go to Old Town. Go to Winterfell. The Flaming Heart faces off against the Flayed Man. Go to Braavos. Child molester and his blind assassin. In Dorne, we see the last kiss and a brief stint in fatherhood. In Meereen, an unlikely trio rules while Jorah and Daario leave to find Dany. Somewhere in Essos, we don't know where, we see Dothraki and dragons. I know it's like the new RPG. In King's Landing, we see the Walk of Shame to the Mountain's Arms. And finally at the Wall, at two, Ollie, at two. Alright, so, talking points. Let's go to the north and talk about Stannis and Winterfell.
Yeah, fuck Stannis. I don't know how he thought... sacrificing his daughter wasn't going to be some kind of huge blow to morale.
Right, isn't that, like, pretty much the worst thing you can do?
I don't care if I'm a mercenary and I see some dude sacrifice his daughter, that dude isn't going to think twice about sacrificing me.
Yeah, it's like, what kind of sick fuck is this, right? Yeah. It wasn't even a grown daughter either, it was a child.
Yeah.
Burned a child, your daughter at the stake. So yeah, he lost half his men, they deserted overnight.
Took all the horse.
Lost his wife... committed suicide from grief.
I had a question. So, do you think that was suicide, or do you think she was assisted? Because people were like, that's a sick fuck.
No, everyone saw her try to... In fact, they kept her away from trying to reach her daughter, Shireen.
Salise
committed suicide.
Hateful and spiteful as she's been throughout the entire season and throughout... You know,
well, that's what Game of Thrones does. They throw you a character you like, and then they destroy that character.
They start to redeem them, and then they destroy them.
Well, no. If you have a character you like, they just destroy it. They just slowly dismantle it, the character. And then if there's a character you don't like, then they slowly try to make you like him. Like Stannis. So when we first met Stannis, I hated the guy. Hated him. Like Davos, the Onion Knight, but I hated Stannis. And then they try to humanize him with these interactions with Shireen, which should have been a clue to us that bad things are going to fucking happen, and we kind of called it.
Yeah.
And then they do this. They throw him under the bus. That's just what they do. But if it's a character you really like that started out good, they never go back. They only go down, which is one of my gripes. I mean, it's whatever. So,
do you think Stannis walked into that knowing he would get crushed?
Yes.
You think that was a suicide?
The moment he knew that his troops had left him, his Salise had committed suicide, and Melisandre had left him, right?
Why do you think
it was like a triple blow? He's like, bam, our troops are gone. Bam, your wife is dead. Oh, and Melisandre was just seen leaving.
Why do you think Melisandre left?
Because she knew that she had backed the wrong guy. He was going to lose. You see the look on her face when she found out that all the people had left?
It was pretty.
She's like, fuck, I was so wrong.
Very wrong.
Or I interpreted my visions to be Stannis and they were wrong.
Do you think she was maybe afraid of a little reprisal from him?
Possibly. But I think more than anything is like time to move on to her next victim.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So at that point, and then he's like, we march, ready the troops, we march. I'm pretty sure he knew that it was a suicide march.
So much so that he didn't even bother putting scouts out.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, so you know, skipping ahead a couple of scenes, you know, we'll skip over the wall, we'll come back to the wall at the end. We'll talk about all the wall at the
end. That's give me a cap on that, yeah.
So he arrives in Winterfell, we see Brienne, or Pod actually sees that he's standing, because that Stannis has arrived. He informs Brienne, who's watching the Broken Tower, that Stannis has arrived. Stannis tells his men to prepare for a siege. And his dude there, his right-hand man, is like, there's not going to be a siege. And then you see all these horsemen, the cavalry is coming up.
How many of those are Bolton's men? How many do you think of the deserters from
I don't think any of the deserters went to Bolton.
Are you sure?
I think they just got the hell out of what? It's a possibility.
So you think they're in the north, it's snowing, they have a brief reprieve from the winter, right? You got to know somewhere.
Well, the ships are still out there, right? Stannis' ships?
Yeah, but they can't. Did they take the ships? They took horses. They didn't take the ships.
Well, the ships are there, but after Jon used the ships to get the wildlings, they're still Stannis' ships, part of the mercenary fleet, right?
Yeah.
So I think they just went back to their ships, because they bought those mercenaries in Braavos.
So you think that...
I think they're just going home. They're like, you know, fuck this shit. Time to take my...
This dude's crazy.
Yeah.
Burned his daughter. Fuck
I'm
off.
I'm taking my ball and going home. Yeah. No, I think that though... That Bolton's men was bolstered by people who've been flocking there to their banner because of Sansa.
Man, was that a lot of horsemen.
Yeah, it was a suicide. The horsemen came in,
outflanked them,
and I like the scene where it's like,
numbers.
There's actually some intelligent people in Stannis Baratheon's army, because at the very end you can see them, they're trying to run back towards the woods. I doubt very many people will survive.
No. Yeah, because the cavalry's probably not as good as the
Baratheons are completely annihilated at this point in time, unless you still think Tommen is a Baratheon. I consider him a Lannister.
Me too. I mean, they came out and said it, or at least so far, with Marcella.
Right. It's already been said. We know that they are.
Everyone, yeah.
When do you think at what point do you think Melisandre realized she backed the wrong horse?
Well, I think she started having second thoughts when Stannis gave her the cold shoulder.
Oh, yeah. She was all rubbing on him, right?
And
yeah.
He just kind of...
And then when it... Well, it was when the men all had left, and she realized that there was absolutely no hope for Stannis.
Yep.
So do you think she had earnestly believed Stannis would be able... I think from the look on her face, she actually believed Stannis would be able to take Winterfell.
I agree. Yeah. And I think she had designs for him that were not... That included that. And
yeah.
Just kind of...
So she kind of failed. She's the whole reason Stannis has failed at this point.
And we saw earlier in the season where she was kind of hedging her bets when she kind of, tried to come on to Jon Snow.
Of course. Well, anybody with the power of blood, you know, that could power her blood magic is going to be in her sights. And, you know, at the rate she burns them at the stake...
Yeah. You got to have backups. There's spares lying around.
So, Brienne... Because of Stannis, because she seeks revenge, right? She wants revenge.
She stopped watching the tower.
So she had a moment here. This is one of the few times that a female character has actually had a, I guess you'd call it a positive moment. A moment empowered by their own agency. You know what I mean? Like, there's a goal she has. She took it. You know, she took action and made it happen. Not being handed to her, not being empowered by some male character. So Brienne actually has a moment here. But was it the right moment?
Nope.
Yeah, so she missed the opportunity to help the person. A person that's still alive, which is more important.
Another of her goals.
Right.
And she didn't think that it was likely going to be accomplished, at least at that point in time.
Well, getting vengeance on Stannis Baratheon consumed her, you know, consumed her reason at that point in time. Question, do you think Stannis is dead?
No.
I think Stannis is dead.
I don't think she killed him.
I think for sure he's dead.
And my reasoning is... That man has not suffered enough. He needs to continue to
the moment
so he can pay for...
The moment he found out that half his men was gone, he realized he was defeated.
Oh, there was definitely a
that whole march there, I think he's...
Fully defeated look on his face right up to the end, you know.
Well, I think he went there to die. And it's even apparent in his conversation with Brienne.
That's why I don't think it was given to him. I don't think they gave. That's why I don't think death was given to him.
I think Brienne killed him. For we didn't see, but I know he's dead. You see, he was bleeding out. He got hit in the leg, and he knew he was dying because there's like an arterial wound in his leg. He's bleeding out against that tree.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's kind of like, you know, he's like, do your duty. And there's nothing I can say. I'm not going to tell you my woes.
Yeah.
He'll take it to the grave. But I think he's dead.
We'll just have to see on that one.
I am pretty, like, I like Brienne's scene, or the fact that, you know, just as a female, she's been able to accomplish something. But at the same time, the more important of her goals, she missed out on because of this revenge factor. It kind of, and there's a theme here. Even if you don't like Melisandre, her power has been diminished. Brienne's power has been diminished. She hasn't been able to save Sansa. Coming to Sansa, so she picks a lock with a corkscrew, and then she drops it. That's pretty ridiculous. Why would you drop a weapon like that?
She's not used to fighting. She's never been in prison. She doesn't need that shank.
I guess. So she goes to light the candle, which Brienne misses, and then on her way back, she is interrupted by, or she's found out by Ramsay's toy, right? Ramsay, or she and Reek intercept Sansa on her way back. And
I like her seizing, she, now there I felt she was a little bit empowered. She said, you know, fuck it.
Yeah, but it's the wrong type of empowerment. It's like, oh, if you're going to kill me while I still have some of me left, or, you know, it's, what the fuck ever. It's a surrender. It's just like, well, you know, here, I'd rather be shot in the heart with an arrow than be raped to death. Which is a good choice, but it's still, both choices suck.
Yeah.
But here, this is what I'm talking about, the power of women being diminished. So you know who comes to the aid? Oh, also, I fucking told you so. Reek comes to her aid, Ramsay by throwing that woman off the ledge, cracking her skull on the cobblestone
she's
below.
Dead. She's definitely dead. Talking about, just
and thing, then we're gonna take just Sansa's hand and jumps off the castle, which is not a better option than what we just saw, but I'm... So do you think they're still alive?
Yeah.
I think there are, too. There's something over there, either deep snow...
Reek's final act to shield her with his body from the impact, or
but
the snow's
point,
deep enough that they didn't die.
She no longer has any agency. Look, it's Reek, the most despicable, besides Stannis. Well, maybe just as despicable. No.
He's
not quite as despicable as Stannis, but the most broken motherfucker comes in and steals Sansa's power by rescuing her. It just makes them, you know, that's, I think that's bad writing. It should have been Sansa saving Reek.
Or killing both of them.
Whatever.
I would have liked to see that.
Sansa escapes, but it's through the actions of a man.
I really liked the way when she kind of felt empowered and she started to play like some mind games with Ramsay and she started, you know.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to see the fruition of that at all.
No, it definitely didn't in that way.
Basically, they yanked the rug out from underneath her. And made her basically an unlikable character again.
She's still just a silly little girl.
It's whatever. It's irritating, all right? For me, it's irritating to see all this women treated this way in the story. Now, you can have all those assholes say, well, this is the Middle Ages, or based on the Middle Ages, or fantasy, whatever the hell, so this is the way women would be treated. I don't give a shit. It's a fucking work of fiction. Take advantage of the situation. Don't feed me broken-ass women anymore. I'm tired of seeing broken-ass women. I want to see some strong females.
Well, you always have Cersei.
She was broken, too. But before that, we'll get to another woman who was broken this episode in Braavos. So, Arya. First of all, this scene was... I'm tired. I know it feels like I'm just shitting on Game of Thrones. If you like Game of Thrones, that's fine. But this is my opinion. The scene where we have
Sir Meryn Trent
beating on children.
Yeah, that's
little
very
girls.
Disturbing.
It's disturbing to me, especially because I have a kid. I don't like these type of scenes, and it's almost like Game of Thrones, just the shock value's worn off. At this point, we're just reveling in the depravity of humanity. Like, what is the worst thing people can do to each other, and let's just watch that on film.
Wait, at what point? What's the point anymore?
I guess it's to prove how bad Meryn Trent is, but we already know that. He's an asshole. He's a pedophile. We established that last episode. And of course, we called it. Arya's his next. Well, they had three of them, but Arya's one of them, wearing the face of the girl that she convinced to drink the poison. And then she proceeds to mutilate Marin Trench, stabs his eyes out.
She seemed to really enjoy stabbing the shit
ruthless.
Out of that guy. Yeah.
Ruthless, but exactly the opposite of what she pledged to be with the Faceless Men.
I know, right? That's exact opposite. I am Arya Stark. No, you're supposed to be no one. You're supposed to be this girl, right?
And then what did she say to the guy, Marin Trench?
You are no one.
You are
like,
no one.
No, that's what you're supposed to be, right? Oh, I was so...
I like the part where she gets her vengeance on Marin Trent.
I was shouting for joy at that one. I really enjoyed seeing that dude stabbed to death.
But then we see she comes back, and she replaces the face, and she's caught, right?
So, those faces, do you think that's just like a normal mask made out of somebody's face, or do you think it's like...
There's mystical product. Yeah, there's obviously magic to it, because it gave her long hair.
Oh, you're right.
And then we saw at the end of the scene where she's grabbing face after face after face.
Pulling off of easily.
Who we thought... was Jokin Hagar, or Jokin Hagar.
So, he obviously drank some poison, and then...
It was his debt, because he owed her a debt, right? From back in Harrenhal, where they first met. She helped him escape, and I guess... Did he ever complete
his mission?
His debt to her by killing all those people?
Yeah, he had three debts, right?
Okay, well, he drank the poison, though.
Three lives or something like that?
I can't remember. But he drank the poison, killing himself, because basically she stole a life from the many-faced god.
And then we find out that...
Was it Jokin?
Yeah, what was going on there? We don't know.
We don't know. So
I think he's the many-faced god.
Okay, so here's my question. Are there individual people in the Faceless Men, or is it a hive mind?
Oh, you become no one when you become part of the hive mind.
Yes. You give up yourself and become part of the hive mind when you join the Faceless Men.
So
at that point, you are your sense of self is gone.
And you can be anyone.
So you can be anyone.
I like that theory. I definitely like that theory. Because I think, something's definitely going on.
So Jokin is part of the Faceless Men, yet at the same time, he isn't, right?
And he's the only Faceless Man we've seen, right?
Girl.
But she's an apprentice. She's not...
Is she?
Eh?
That's true. What about the other dudes carrying the bodies down? There were other dudes carrying bodies down besides... Hagar is the only guy we know for sure that's an assassin. I don't know. But I'm willing to bet it's some sort of hive mind where the individuals are no longer really individuals. They're just drones that the collective consciousness of the Faceless Men can inhabit.
I think there's definitely some stuff that supports that. Because they mention... What does he call himself? This one?
A man.
Yeah, a man. This one. And it says stuff like that, right? This girl.
It's all in third person. Like, the person really is no one. You've subsumed your consciousness into the hive mind.
I like that. That's pretty cool to me. I think I agree with that.
It's a cool concept, but it's not something I'd want to join.
Oh, yeah.
So Arya would...
Completely be gone. All of her current...
Well,
targets.
Arya would become part of the consciousness, so it would just be another personality that the Faceless Men would employ. So... We notice that she's pulling the faces off the Jokin who drank the poison. The last face we see is her face, right? And then we are informed that for those who aren't ready, the masks are a sort of poison. And then she goes blind. Broken. We've broken another...
I don't think she'll stay broken.
Well, I think she's going to stay blind.
Oh, I agree with that.
I think she's just going to be a blind assassin. I don't think she'll join the Faceless Men. She won't subsume her consciousness into the many, I don't think. Or maybe she will. Maybe that's her fate. Her fate will become part of the Faceless Men, and then we'll never see Arya again except as a tool of the Faceless Men. And that'll suck, just like everything else sucks in Game of Thrones.
That sounds likely, since that's the worst case.
Yeah, what's the worst case here that happens? Obviously, they weren't going to kill her, otherwise they would have made her drink the poison. So, weird. Yep. I guess she's going to become like Daredevil, which has some weird sixth sense, kills people with her needle. That would be the sweet option, but the other option is she'll become... one of many, and therefore no longer really exists.
That'll be interesting to watch, to find out if we can continue watching.
If we can continue watching Game of Thrones. So let's go to Dorne, and we see... I love this scene, except for the last 20 seconds. I knew it, though, however, when Lady Sand kissed her for a really long, like an exceptionally long amount of time, and then, kind of rubbed it on her lips. I knew it! And I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yep.
And right after she, Marcella...
acknowledges Jaime as her father.
She knew it the whole time. She caught on a long time ago with it.
So Jaime gets this brief sin of,
it was great.
And then snatched, just absolutely yanked and crushed away from him.
So Lady Sandy poisoned her, then drank She also poisoned herself in the process, but drank the antidote at the end.
I have a question for you. Do you think that is the first act and opening salvo for her of a revolution, basically? Is she going to kill the prince now?
I'm sure there's going to be some big civil war in Dorne and then a fight between Dorne and King's Landing or something. Or whatever the remnants of the Lannisters are.
How do you think Cersei's going to... Wait,
first of all, do you think Tristane's on that ship? Do you think he's going to make it to King's Landing?
Yeah.
You think Jaime's going to allow him to make it to
King's Landing? I think Jaime's more honorable than Lady Sand.
Do you think Tristane maybe has an antidote on hand that could save Marcella?
No.
I don't think so either.
No, she's dead.
Yeah, I think that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, it's definitely wishful thinking. Do you think that Jaime's actually going to go back to King's Landing now? Because if he shows up with a dead Marcella...
With Tristane there, a Martell with him, what's going to happen to him? Cersei's going to tear him apart.
Yeah. Not just Tristane, but Jaime as well.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to these two. And Bronn.
Yeah. Aww.
Poor Bronn. Yeah, so I don't know where these two are going to go. I don't think they're going to go back to King's Landing.
Neither do I. I think they're going to go back in Dorne and get some revenge.
You think so?
Yeah.
Dorne for... Yeah, because Tristane would even be for that. And he'll have to be there to take over his old man's spot, right?
Yep. That's my guess on that one. I definitely think that Lady Sand is going to attempt to kill the prince, though.
So I think news of Marcella's death is going to reach Cersei, and that's going to be the catalyst for her revenge on the Sparrows.
I don't think she needs a catalyst.
Well, she already had the catalyst, right? The Walk of Shame.
I see her... So, before, I've always felt that she's been pretty petty and spiteful, and just, like, taking the evil where she... Well, we'll come back to that. We'll talk about her.
Opportunities of evil.
Yeah.
So we're in Meereen now. And we see Tyrion and Dario.
And a ton of wisdom from Dario.
Yeah, like Dario actually shines. I think that what Tyrion does whenever he's on, or Peter Dinklage whenever he's on screen, is he brings out the best in all the other characters. So when he's on screen, all the other characters are better written.
They have to have better dialogue.
So what we see here is Dario and Jorah are going to go off to find Dany and get saved by the men. And then they're leaving Tyrion, Grey Worm, and Missandei in charge of Meereen. How do you think that's going to work out? The ruling of
Meereen. Awesome. I think that is going to go way better.
We also see Varys. Varys shows up, right? Reunited.
Varys and Tyrion as the leaders of this place is going to be fantastic.
So you think they're going to turn Meereen around?
Yeah. And I think that's what's gonna allow Dany to move. Like,
I liked our other theory where they just burn the damn city to the ground.
That's cool too. I'd be okay with that. But I really think they're gonna do so well that they're gonna be left in charge and they're gonna go and Dany's gonna go conquer middle.
I think Tyrion's never gonna be left there. Tyrion's always gonna be a part of the main plot. He's not gonna be. They leave Tyrion a Meereen while she goes off.
Maybe Varys.
Burninating Westeros. That'll be fucked up and I'll piss me off. Because I need to be there. Tyrion needs to be there when Dany destroys the Lannisters once and for all.
Oh, yeah, that needs to happen. Tyrion needs to see Cersei die.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. So then we see Dany somewhere in Essos. We don't know where Drogon took her. Drogon's more interested in recovering from his battle, right?
Yeah, he looks pretty messed up.
Yeah,
or is that just his coloring?
I can't tell. He was licking his wounds. Obviously, he was licking his wounds. Not even figured. Literally, he was licking his wounds.
In his pile of
In his nest.
Burnt up face.
That's what your room looks like, isn't it? Yeah. Your room is full of burnt rib cages and rotten meat.
dead things. It's what I lay in.
But she had nothing to eat. I guess she didn't want to chew on the bones. There may have been some meat there. She should just look.
Yeah, I'm sure Drogon would have left.
Marrow. Yeah. Bone marrow.
Would have left totally.
Well, that's not good enough for Dany. She has to go off on her lonesome into the wild.
Being all uppity.
Speaking of which, she's on a fucking cliff. Keep that in mind when she starts off. She can see for miles from the cliff. Then she walks down into the valley. And then all these asshole Dothraki riders come from fucking nowhere.
We see again the importance of scouting.
Hundreds of thousands of these riders were just hidden in the crevices of this valley, and then boom, instantaneously on top of her. That is ridiculous that she didn't see that coming. You saw she dropped the ring, right, to obviously show whoever Jorah and Dario comes looking for her. Breadcrumbs. But do you think she's going to need the breadcrumbs?
No.
What do you think these Dothraki are here for?
They're going to follow her.
I think they're there to pledge their allegiance.
Or maybe she marries their king and, you know, gains.
I don't think she's going to marry anybody.
I don't know. She's been on a marrying kick. Khal Drogo married...
A kick? That's over 5 years and they're all dead.
That's what I'm saying. she's free for another one, right? Okay.
Yeah, so something leads me to believe, because if it's just another fucking threat, I'm tired of that, because she was, obviously she had a huge threat marine that she just escaped, and then she lands into another huge threat, the Dothraki are going to take her and burn her at the stake, or eat her, or rape her to death, whatever they do at a Dothraki wedding.
Oh, God.
Rape dancing.
I really don't need any more of that.
If that is the case, this is truly a threat to her, then fuck this storyline.
So I really liked Dany when she was like on her own making decisions and she showed a lot of strength. And then when she became the ruler, Dany, and she like, I don't know, there was a lot of diminishment of her, in my opinion.
Well, there's no plot movement towards Westeros. That's the problem. She got stuck in Marine.
It seemed like some of her advisors were controlling it more than she was. Like, I don't know.
It was just stupid shit over and over again. Same stupid shit over and over again. We need to get out of Marine.
And I think
out of fucking Essos.
Whether Tyrion and Varys burn the place down or solve her problems.
Oh, no, I think she's going to come back, pick up her saviors, Dario and Jorah, along the way.
With a full
grab the Unsullied horde
behind her.
And, yeah, move on. I hope.
That'd be sweet.
But still, guess what? She's saved by a bunch of men. Hundreds of thousands of them. Not through her own power. She just happened to stumble into the midst of a twirling man tornado.
That's exactly what it became there at the end.
Horseman tornado there. I don't get it. So, again, female agency diminished by males. The male started with the male dragon. He didn't want to fucking, oh, fuck you. I saved your ass. Time to fend for yourself,
I think,
mommy.
That's going a little bit far.
And then she leaves the male dragon and ends up in the midst of all these Dothraki blood riders or whatever.
I don't know, I consider the dragons her power, because they're dragons.
It's fucking ridiculous is what this is. The storyline right here, it's just too much. She should have stumbled onto a fucking ship heading to Westeros. And what should have been there?
That's where Drogon should have flown her.
Yeah, to a straight fucking to Westeros. Boat. Let's go. Or yeah, just right across the Narrow Sea.
What? Straight to the Night's Watch. Picked up Jon and they should have flown off together towards
right before he was stabbed to death.
Yeah, that should have happened.
Alright, so let's go to King's Landing and the Walk of Shame.
So, that takes slut-shaming to
its like epic.
Penultimate.
It's an epic slut-shaming. But it's also, it serves two purposes here. Now, I want to say, again, this is a demonstration of taking power away from a woman in Game of Thrones.
I gotta say, but that Sparrow was retarded. Letting her out was a bad, bad move. And he is dead.
Right.
They're all dead.
They are all dead. There is going to be hell to pay for these guys.
And I am for that. Cersei is now one of my favorite characters.
His goal here, you see what he's doing here? This woman has held the city hostage for years, right? Everybody's afraid of her. Well, everybody's afraid of nobles and power and nobility. But in one fell stroke,
he's shown that he has the power to make somebody.
He has diminished Cersei's power over the people.
Not just Cersei's. That completely undermined
nobles. Any nobles.
Yeah.
That's right. Taking him down a notch, a huge notch.
She put him there, so she cut Tommen's power base completely away from him.
And that's all her fault.
Yeah.
The reason she's there is all her fault. She also fucked Lancel, which is her fault. So she only confessed to one crime, right?
Yeah.
Screwing Lancel Lannister. And she denied I'm happy that she denied the whole incestuous thing with Jaime and her kids are products of incest.
Well, she's pretty sure they only have proof of the one, right?
Well,
she knows. She knows.
She was banking on getting a drop of mother's mercy. That's what she begged for, to see her son. Because as long as she could see her son and get the message out, that would start things rolling.
Yeah.
Back in her favor. What she didn't count on was her atonement, I don't think. She wasn't prepared for her atonement, and we see that her atonement involved basically her hair being roughly shorn from her head and stripped down naked in front of everybody and walked through the city. If you saw the camera, the perspective on the camera, that's a long fucking walk to the Red Keep.
You know that's exactly what she's thinking when they like show her face and then show
her.
Yeah,
and they show that, she's like, fuck, I'm gonna walk through. And then the whole time that one asshole behind her, the nun.
Shame.
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 Shame. Ding, ding, ding. I totally think that they need to make a motivational CD.
I would totally buy that.
It's just her saying shame, shame, shame with
and
the bells.
Bell. Yeah.
And you just, it's like at 2 hours of that.
So motivational.
That woman is dead.
Yep.
The mountain is going to rape her to death.
I don't think the mountain's going to do it. I think Cersei's going to take a direct hand in that lady's death.
I think she's going to be... It's going to be a Master Blaster moment. I'm Master. He's Blaster. Ha! Speaking of Mad Max, which is a great film. Feminist, even. You know, little Master Blaster. Anyways, so... Got to sneak that in there. But the Sparrow managed to knock down nobility's power over the people a bit.
There was quite a turnout.
You mentioned that you didn't think there's enough sparrows there with
cudgels just clearing the way.
Six guys wasn't enough.
No.
I'm surprised that not more shit happened to Cersei. I mean, she was being spit on. I'm sure there's poop being thrown at her, stuck to her face and shoulder.
People were emptying their chamber pots.
Urine. Of course, the streets are full of shit and urine. Whatever else you walked on to cause their feet to bleed.
And so... One thing I feel was kind of an important distinction to me. When she started out, the people nearest to the Sparrow looked better dressed than the rest of the people. Like with the crowd.
Yeah.
So when they first descended in the crowd, they had all these people
kind of getting in the bowels of the city, though.
Yeah, and then it's the commoners, and they're pissed, right?
And they're away from the church, too, so I guess they don't have the set.
Who were the people near? Were those some of the nobles near the Sparrow?
I don't think so. I think they're just common people.
You think they're just common people?
What nobles are left in King's Landing?
I don't know.
At least housewives.
Upper merchants and things like that.
Okay, maybe. Middle class.
Yeah, like upper middle class. Do you think
if there is a middle class?
Because they weren't yelling at her. So you think maybe something.
I think they didn't know how to react until the first. It took one guy to start it, and then after that, it was all downhill. I think that was it. Everybody else was afraid until the one bold dude called her a cunt.
Holy tits!
We had lots of full frontal male nerdity too. Crazy shit. Lots of dangling wings out there. I'm a Lannister. Suck me off. Some crazy shit going on, King's Landing. So she finally makes it to the Red Keep, and the only person who shows any sympathy is who?
Qyburn.
Wraps her up, right? And I'm pretty sure something's going to happen to Grand Maester Pycelle.
Yeah.
He was kind of like gloating, I felt like.
Or ogling. Dirty old.
Both, probably, pervert.
I think those people are dead. They are so dead. Yeah,
Qyburn was the only guy who showed any sympathy. And then he has a gift for her, right?
The massive, massive man.
Mountain. The mountain
gold cloak.
Zombie guy.
New Kingsguard.
It's crazy. If Crayola had a color, what do you think they'd call his flesh?
dead purple.
Dead purple. Rotting purple death. Yeah, it's crazy.
So...
What? He's a vow of silence. I think he just can't talk. He's incapable of verbally communicating anything.
He's just like missing the lower jaw. Like undead. Just that undead. He's like full undead.
I don't know what he is. He's definitely... That's not a normal shade of color for a person. And do you see, like, when he picks her up? Do you see the change in her look? Like, these fuckers are gonna die.
Yeah, So before, she's always been kind of petty and spiteful to me. Now I think she's got purpose. There is drive.
Right, so far it was kind of like crimes of opportunity, right? Things that just happen to fall her way.
Now she's going full villain. No fucks given, no no quarter, no mercy. Not out of spite and pettiness, there is anger.
So Lena Headey, I think that's her name, the actress for Cersei, she did an amazing job on... She almost evoked sympathy from me. Almost.
I felt a little sympathy for her.
I know you said you felt sympathy. You felt sorry for her when you were watching it. I didn't feel sorry for
her. And now I'm totally rooting for her. I want to see rage. I want to see some fucking retribution from her. I want the tired...
I don't know if I'm rooting for her, but I certainly hope... Cersei and the Sparrows eliminate each other. I'm certainly hoping. I can't wait for the mountain to go through and start destroying things.
I am Team White Walker now.
Team White Walker.
So I am all for Cersei basically eliminating all opposition.
I agree with you. I want to see Cersei lay waste to some shit down there.
Ruthless. I want to see the most ruthless.
But I also want to see her die. Which is sad, because this is another point of a powerful female being eroded. Her power is being eroded. Never fails.
I felt she's always spiteful, but now I'm all for her. I am on Team White Walker, Team Cersei.
I'm not on Team Cersei.
She's now... I mean, yeah, I just want to see her wreck some shit.
I do want to see her wreck some shit. I guess I'm a temporary bannerman of Cersei, but once the sparrows are gone, I don't...
Because I feel Margaery's in for some deep, deep shit from the sparrow.
Yeah, we don't know what's... Yeah,
how long did
Margaery...
How long did it take for Cersei to break?
Loras...
Right? And how long did it take for Cersei to break? And even then, Cersei's crimes were, even the incest was not as bad as perjury, basically. Lying under the oath, right?
You're lying in front
of God. They
even
told
yeah.
Cersei.
So she basically confessed to two sins. When she confessed to the incest with Loras, she also confessed to perjury because she said she denied it at first.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think the walk of shame was more for the incest. Not the perjury.
Cersei's? Yeah. Cersei didn't purge. Cersei didn't commit perjury. Or at least she hasn't been found to commit perjury yet.
Well, she denied it. That's why she was in the dungeons.
Denied the... No, she was taken because of that. And she didn't confess right away, so they...
You mean she didn't deny it when they first took her?
She was surprised.
But... Well, yeah, I guess we never saw her actually deny it. Okay.
But, and she also wasn't, like, under oath...
If you're talking to the sparrow, then you're talking to the gods. So if you lie to the sparrow, then you're lying in front of the gods. You're in the altar, right? That subterranean room, he said, was like the first altar ever. So if you're lying there, then you're lying in front of the gods.
I don't know. I think the punishment for like perjury, especially like at a, you know, because they were at Loras's trial, weren't they? When
yeah, that was a trial.
Marjorie told her lie, so right. She didn't know anything about that. So I think the punishment for her is a lot worse.
I don't know.
Going to be a lot worse.
I don't know. So let's finally take it to the wall. We're at the wall. We see Sam. So going back to the beginning, Sam has requested to take Gilly and young Sam to Old Town so he can study at the Citadel to become a maester.
Yep.
There's not much to talk about this. So hopefully he'll go there and learn some shit, some cool shit to destroy White Walkers. They were also talking about Valyrian steel and about how many Valyrian steel swords are left. And Jon's like, not enough. So the moment that Jon acquiesced to send him away, you were pretty much for sure that Jon was going to die, weren't you?
Yep.
Yeah. Lost his only friend. And then at the end of the episode, we see Ollie comes in and is like, oh, there's a wildling that says he knows where your Uncle Benjen is. And he comes out there.
This is where Jon dies.
And he gets stabbed. The first stab is from Alistair. The last stab is from Ollie.
Definitely an et tu Ollie moment.
Yeah, though. So...
Et tu Brute.
This is more that gray area shit that they like to do on Game of Thrones. Ollie's not necessarily a bad guy. You would never consider Ollie a bad guy.
Nope.
But he's twisted because all those wildlings killed his parents, right? The Thins, in particular, I believe, were the ones.
Yep.
Probably ate his parents. And that it felt like a betrayal when he went and saved them.
Especially, you know, he comes back with Tormund, who led that raid.
That's right. So he felt betrayed, so he betrayed Jon. Was one fucking... So Jon bled out in the snow. All that blood. I'm pretty sure Melisandre is going to come out there and lap it up.
I think so.
And resurrect him.
Neither of us think that he's done for.
I don't... So there's one of two options here, right? Or I guess there's three options. The first one is he's dead. We don't believe that. The second one is Melisandre resurrects him because we know Melisandre's connection with the Brotherhood Without Banners... Resurrection through the Lord of Light is possible.
Yep.
She's there. She's on the scene. She is in Castle Black.
So we were talking about what are the limitations. We thought maybe a fresh death is one of them, right? So
he's not been mutilated. He's been stabbed several times, but he's not mutilated. The second one is, which is the one I'm now hoping for, is that he becomes a White Walker.
Yeah. Night's
King comes in.
He joins Team White Walker.
And says, John, now you know something. Join us.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's Melisandre's going to resurrect him. Because we saw Melisandre arrive there when Davos was arguing with Jon about getting wildlings to fight for Stannis, and he's like, it's not their fight, whatever. And we saw Davos, you know, what's...
You see the exact moment his heart breaks.
He knows Shireen's dead.
Yep. And by the way, she looked him in the eye, I'm pretty sure he knows that she did.
So here's the order of events that needs to happen. Melisandre laps up John's blood, uses the magic to resurrect him. Davos is there. He overhears Melisandre telling John what happened with whatever. And then Davos murders the fuck out of Melisandre.
Yeah!
That's what I hope. Either way, I think Davos is there to stay with John. Yep. Davos and John, that's a good combination.
Yeah, because I feel that at the very least, if he gets resurrected, he is no longer welcome at the Wall.
If he gets resurrected, I think he'll take the wildlings and destroy those that were unloyal to him at the Wall.
That would be interesting. I think he'll take the wildlings and go south.
I think he'll pay a visit.
Either
John kills him directly or he kills him indirectly by not helping them when the White Walkers come.
Oh, that's a good
one. You know what I mean? So Basically you'd be like, I'd help your dumbass, and they'd make eye contact, and John be like, you know, mentally saying, I'd help your dumbass, but you stabbed me.
See that exchange happen?
Yes, I do want to see that exchange. Like, I want to see Alistair verbally or visually acknowledge that John is not helping him, and then he dies.
I want to see John as a whirlwind of steel killing the people who killed him. That would be sweet, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I think the whites are going to take care of that problem. You're right. But yeah, so Davos and John go south, meet up with the wildlings, and then go south again.
Yeah, because there's no way they're going to stand against the White Walkers.
All right, so let's think about all the characters still in play. We have Bran, who is not present at all this season. Bran and, I forget, Jojen's sister, who are all up there with the Elves, or whatever you want to call them.
Wasn't it a White Walker?
It wasn't a White Walker. In the tree? They're the First Peoples, whatever they call them. Children of the Forest, says our studio audience. Fey, right? They're Fey-type creatures. Those people are still alive. Also, Osha and Rickon, which probably we'll never see again.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see them again.
Baelish? Peter Baelish?
All the characters... Oh, so that's something I wanted to ask. Do you think Baelish has enough men? Do you think Stannis...
Would you think Baelish was present? Do you think that was some of Baelish's forces there?
Nope.
I don't think so either.
Nope. But I wonder if Stannis killed enough of... Because basically Baelish's plan was to mop up what was left of the battle, right? Do you think Stannis killed enough...
Hell no. That was a crushing defeat.
Yeah, that was very much a crushing defeat.
No, Baelish will have to accomplish that task with more backstabbery. And I think it's... So that will also involve someone that may or may not be alive, Sansa. So...
Fleeing and running into Baelish's army.
Or fleeing and running into Brienne.
Who then maybe runs into Baelish's
army. I don't know. So I think Brienne will eventually connect with Sansa.
I agree.
Otherwise, she has no story, right? That's the last thing she has to do.
Yep. Otherwise, it's going to be us seeing more of Brienne chasing Sansa across.
So Arya, what happens to Arya? She's going to become some blind assassin or something? Or she subsumes herself
But even then, I don't see anytime soon her story connecting with the main story arc about the White Walkers.
I imagine maybe Dany will come through Braavos.
Yeah, but even then...
Not as a conqueror, but as
even
a
then, I don't see
passage.
Arya as you know, a fighter right now. Enough of an assassin to be...
Well, she certainly can't overcome her blindness in a split second. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens there. So we don't know about the Tyrells. So Margaery and Loras are in the Sept, dungeons beneath the Sept. Lady Olenna is probably trying to plan some kind of retribution. Mace Tyrell is without...
Chaperone or assassins,
so,
maybe.
So Meryn Trent didn't get an opportunity to kill him, so I don't know what's going to go on there.
Maybe he'll make it back.
He might make it back. Cersei, obviously she's embroiled with a fight with the Sparrows, the monster of her own creation. Jaime and Bronn and Trystane. We're pretty sure that they're not going to go to King's Landing. That would be a suicide mission.
Yeah.
Dorne, what are the Sand Vipers going to do?
I think they're currently going to try and
kill to assassinate the prince or whatever, the Prince of Dorne.
Yeah, and then pretty much take their war to Cersei.
Who else is in... So Dany, the Dothraki horde, Jorah, Dario, Tyrion, Varys, the Unsullied, all over there.
Boltons.
The Boltons. Yeah. I'd love to see Sansa come up and take the Bannermen away from the Boltons and join forces with, if just for a little bit, Peter Baelish.
Maybe that'll give him the edge he needs.
Having Sansa?
Yeah, and the Northern Bannermen.
And then once the North understands what Ramsay was doing to her, or if they share that information.
Going haywire.
Yeah,
that would be turn on them
from the inside.
Yeah.
What about the Greyjoys? We haven't seen anything about the Iron Islands.
They're done.
You think they're out of the story at this point? Mm-hmm. They're not very organized. Walder Frey, the twins. I can't wait till some kind of justice comes his way. hopefully in the form of White Walkers. Who else is out there? The Lannisters, they're all in the King's Landing. I'm trying to think of the houses.
What do you think is going to happen with Kevin? Is that the Lannister who left when Cersei?
Oh, now he's the king, right? Or he's the hand of the king, yeah. The king's hand.
How do you think Tommen's going to react to Cersei coming back?
Oh, I don't know.
How do you think she's going to react to him?
I don't know. That's a good question, because he's a weakling. I'm pretty sure he is just going to become her puppet. And that's how things are going to happen in King's Landing.
You think she's going to squeeze? She's going to, you know, grab a hold of him for sure? And
oh, yeah. Now it's vengeance. It's personal now. I don't know if it's not been personal before, but it's definitely crazy.
Now, yeah.
So,
what do you think is going to happen? We think the Night's Watch is going to get wiped out by the White Walkers.
Yeah, there's not going to be anything left of the Night's Watch. So the question is, are we going to return next season? We've heard my gripe throughout the recap of this episode where I'm pretty much... I can't do this anymore. I can't watch the depravity.
Jon Snow is truly dead. I will probably stop watching because I don't care. Like, because you know, there's so many main story arcs that seem to you feel like they have to connect somehow, right?
Well, watching this episode, there has to be some kind of payoff. It can't just be there's a high point at the beginning. At the beginning of season one, episode one is your high point, and everything from that point on is just down. It's all downers. And that's not what I like to watch. It's depressing to watch Game of Thrones. Like I said before, I kind of watch it with detached, you know, amusement. I don't even get that. It's not even amusing. It's not amusing to me to watch child molesters beat on kids.
Who's left to root for, really? I mean, you have Tyrion, but I don't see him as a main...
Danny and Tyrion
for the throne. Yeah.
Is the only people you can root for.
Yeah, and they're kind of concentrated right now. All the people that we're left to root for are kind of concentrated in one place.
There's no one. I mean, if Jon was alive, he'd be the only other person to root for.
As far as main
threads. Arya's been twisted.
As far as main threads that have a chance of, like, actually doing something against the... Because there's two main factions, right? You have the Boltons and the Lannisters or whatever together.
Yeah.
There's, like, the human faction, and then...
There is no high points. There's a lot in, like... There's no reprieve. That's the problem. There's no reprieve from the darkness. It's all... Let's go darker into this dark. As soon as you think it can't be darker, well, I can't see shit. It's pitch black. It gets darker. It's impossible. Like an impossible.
What's that crawling on me?
I don't know. There's just no reprieve from it. I just can't. I can't handle that anymore. There's no reprieve from it. Maybe when the series is said and done, and I know that there's some kind of semblance of a of an ending. I'm not going to say happy, but there's some justice served somewhere. Maybe I'll watch all the rest of the seasons.
Why I am Team White Walker. I will continue watching because I am Team White Walker.
Here's the secret nobody knows. The White Walkers are the good guys. They're here to scourge the land of all the evil, which just happens to be fucking everybody that is human.
Human depravity. They're just here to wipe the fucking slate clean.
The White Walkers are the good guys.
So who gets their... How do people get their just desserts? White Walkers.
White Walkers. Let winter come. May it fucking freeze in King's Landing. I want to see the oceans freeze under the Night's King
and
ruling.
Then bring their shit to Essos.
That's right.
Make sure to spread that shit.
Done with it. Let them all die at this point. No, but I'm serious. I mean, at the beginning, it seemed like we had some opportunities to create strong characters, especially strong female characters. But every opportunity they get to let them shine, they just destroy the characters. You know, they take away their power.
Yeah, but I don't think that's necessarily I mean, some of it's very female-specific, but some of it, that's just what they do to characters. That seems to be...
It is, but the way they do it to female characters is very, like... Yeah. They do it specifically to female characters.
Yeah.
The only female character left that hasn't really been... Hell, Dany was even raped at the beginning. I got feelings that her brother raped her at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
It's just fucking, it's all twisted and shit. But Dany's the only remaining female character besides Dany and Missandei that have managed to maintain a semblance of their power and actually grow it. Everybody else, it's just been a slow decay of female agency. Even Brienne. Brienne had a moment this episode, and it was the wrong fucking moment. She instead decided to take out her vengeance instead of... Staying in the course and helping Sansa.
Some of that has been through that character's choice as well, I feel like. Like Melisandre's. That her power base is gone because she decided
that's
to
that's true, but it's all
shit.
Written that way. I mean, someone... I mean, Melisandre is a villain. I consider Melisandre a villain anyway, so
I
don't
actually agree with that.
Cersei is a villain. Melisandre is a villain. Brienne is a hero, but she could be a better hero. Sansa is just a silly little girl that gets shit on the whole time. And anytime
she's just
looks,
along for the ride.
Anytime it looks like she's going to get some semblance of power and be able to come into her own as a character, they take it away. Danny's cool, except they've kept her stuck over there in Slaver's Bay for fucking too long.
I would love to have seen her manipulated the shit out of Ramsay and just like...
That
would have
been a cool... Yeah. It would have been cool to see her get free herself.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Without relying on...
Right.
But I don't think that's specific to her necessarily being female as it was for being Sansa. You know, that's the way her character is.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm telling you that they treat female characters worse in Game of Thrones than male characters.
Well, yeah, I definitely agree.
I mean, because take Reek, the most broken fucking person. She comes back and is the hero. Has Sansa ever been the hero?
Nope.
Reek has.
I really want her to be, though.
Reek has.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. And that's all. I don't know. Also, listeners may not... Well, I know listeners are not aware, is that I'm going to be relocating over the next couple months from Indiana to Montana. So getting together with Jesse may be a problem unless he moves out there with me. So who knows, which is a possibility.
Yep.
So this may be our last Game of Thrones episode. And for all our loyal diehard fans, I apologize, but I just don't know if I can take watching Game of Thrones like this anymore. It's awful.
They definitely... Yeah, I've been kind of sad about the entire thing since Oberyn died.
I mean, I imagine at the very end, it's just going to be a Pyrrhic victory. Wow, somebody won, but who gives a shit? Because look at all the death and mayhem that it took to get here.
We might have won, but this is no victory.
Right. I don't know. Go White Walkers.
I think that White Walker King is pretty cool.
He looks cool. He's definitely badass.
Something like, look at all the nothing you know,
Jon. Oh, yeah, there's a meme going around where it's him with his arms, you know, out where he's raising the dead. And it says, look at all the nothing you know.
There was definitely a stare down. He definitely stared. I kind of like him. I kind of like that guy. Necromancer King.
I'm a big fan of necromancy. I don't know what it is. Not dickromancy. Necromancy.
Glad you clarified that.
Not necrophilia, which is probably under dickromancy. Necromancy. The original definition of which is being able to speak with the dead. But we're talking about raising dead, zombies and skeleton hordes and stuff like that.
Sitting atop my throne while I send out my minions to do my bidding.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I've always thought that ice and cold went with undeath.
They're definitely
complementary powers, right?
Yeah.
Necromancy and...
Although...
Whatever.
You think about it.
The element of cold.
Probably gets pretty hard for zombies to move when they all are frozen and shit. Although they're dead anyway, so I guess it's all...
It's magic, dude. Yeah. What are you doing? Just like you can't rationalize faith, you can't rationalize magic either. It's just magic. That just is. You have to have faith in it.
I'll just go with that.
Go in depth, Brandon Sanderson magic rules. He does in his worlds.
So,
anything left to say?
I think Sam's guilty. I think he's going to have a guilty.
Oh, he might. Yeah, once he
finds out they killed Jon.
But he's alive. Because if he would have stuck around, he would have been dead. For sure. They would have killed Sam right after they killed Jon.
I think it would have been a hard kill with Ghost. Ghost suddenly showed up.
Well, what the fuck? Where was Ghost at? I don't know.
This lends my warg theory that he's a warg.
Sam's a warg?
Yeah. That's why Ghost showed up for him. And not Jon.
Maybe Jon transferred his consciousness into Ghost, and so he'll be like a... sentient ghost.
Hmm.
A sentient dire wolf.
I think that's
pretty far-fetched. He's never shown any warging. They've never even foreshadowed anything like that before, so I doubt that's possible. But they'd have foreshadowed resurrection, so anybody who's died in this last season is probably a candidate for resurrection.
Do you think Melisandre will go rest Stannis?
No. If she was going to do that, she would have stayed. Or at least hung around.
I think she would have died too if she'd hung around.
Well, she can hang far enough back not to be a target, you know, like up in the woods. But no, she came back to Castle Black, so I don't think she's done with Stannis. She backed the wrong horse. Her visions were wrong, or she misinterpreted them, or what? I think that's what she realized.
Or maybe she's actually on the White Walkers team.
Maybe
she's on Team White Walker.
Maybe.
Maybe she'll res Jon
or
the White Walkers.
Red Priestess is going to turn Jon into the White Walker?
Yeah.
Maybe. Doubtful.
John.
They seem to be specifically at odds because the Lord of Light is, you know, fire based.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can hope he can't. Want John on Team White Walker now.
If she doesn't resurrect John, then I hope she meets a grisly death really quick next season. But I may not be around to find out.
The hand of Davos.
Got anything left to say?
Nope.
Well then, thanks for listening to us on the Face of Blaming podcast. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm your host, Jesse. Valor Morghulis.